What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your review of Chelsea 4, Manchester City 4, which I don't think was ever going to happen. Just check in, right? Because I put a Desmond as my prediction and it was 4-4. Does that mean I get double points?
No.
You get the same as me, you get 1 point.
You were the only one who got a point, though, because you were the only one who had a draw. So that's
I put 1-1. Tom, I put 1-1.
Oh, I thought you had Chelsea to win. Apologies. No. I'm the only one who didn't get a point because I was negative.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I can't wait for predictions this week because I had an absolutely amazing week. I was an oracle. But that's by the by. That's for a different show. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the fact that Chelsea have taken part in what was, the way that it's been titled is the one where we played a second all-timer in a week. I think it's going to be difficult to top that game in the entire season. I think that has to be game of the season. Toe-to-toe with the European champions, the treble winners, and arguably should have won. Big positive sign. Lads, how are you feeling? Go on, Tom. Talk to me.
Okay, I will. Well, what game? What week for us? You know, we went in saying out of Spurs, City, Newcastle, like, we would be happy and probably wouldn't even expect 3 points. We've actually got 4 from 2 of those games. Obviously, the Spurs game was the weirdest game of football I've ever seen. But we got the win there, moved on. Went into this City game thinking if we played like Spurs, like we did against Spurs, we'd get hammered. Went behind, and then 3 times in that game, we were behind and we managed to fight back. And that shows the one thing that I've been worried about this season, and that is resilience in this team, that they have got it. They just need to show it more. In those games against teams with a low block, when the attitude seems to just slump, they need to think about this City game where you've managed to come back in the 95th minute and find a way to get a point in a game that quite easily, they score that goal in the 86th minute. It's very unlucky to concede, but most teams don't then score another one, and that's that. You lose 4-3, you come off proud, you've come away with nothing. We've come away with something there. And that is a point, and I think a performance, that the rest of the league are going to look at and go, tell you what, these guys aren't half bad. And, you know, this is, what, 3 months into the project, really? So, and still with Nkunku to come back and things. Like, it's exciting.
Yeah, I thought we showed we belong. We belong with the big boys. It was a Chelsea performance. I haven't recognised my club in a long time. But there's been a number of performances in big games this season. That's why I was a little bit confident going into this. Like I said, I'm beginning to trust Poch. I can trust this team in big games. Whether I can trust this team on Christmas Eve at Wolves away or Everton at home or Everton away is a different matter. But once we start finding solutions as these young players develop, and they will find the solutions because they'll get better and better at how to pick a lock and how to, you know, get on top and get a goal early and kill these teams early doors, then they're really in serious business. But we're showing the markings of what can be a really serious team. And like Tom said, I was so happy with the resiliency. I was happy with the fight. So many times last season, it was like players, it seemed like they wanted off, we wanted them off, because you didn't feel that fight. You didn't feel they wanted to be here. And these guys, we've said all season, the table might not reflect it. This team is very different to last year. It's not a team I don't feel behind. It's just a team that it's going to take some nourishing. It's going to take some time. There's going to be more step backwards along the way, because we felt like this after Arsenal. We felt like, you've set the bar now, keep that intensity up and you can beat any team in the league. And then we lost to Brentford. So it's about, like Tom said, putting that into practice, bringing that to these occasions that aren't quite Manchester City, the treble winners. It's about turning up at Newcastle away in 2 weeks' time, a crap side that lost to Bournemouth. But yeah, I'm more petrified of our December fixtures with Everton and Wolves now, because big teams, we're showing we can deliver. That's Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, City. We haven't lost a game, and we've been the better team in every single game. And it's actually quite frustrating that we've only come away with 3 draws and a win, because we've been superior to all of those sides when we played them, I thought. But yeah, this was the biggest test, and you know, not pass it with flying colours. It wasn't a win, but in a way, it was. I think Gary even mentioned the whole moral victory that Spurs had. This actually felt like a moral victory. This felt like we've shown something here. And it wasn't just Man City we played. We played Taylor. And yeah. when you apply Taylor tax, we won 4-3 because how that is a fucking pen, that is only something Anthony Taylor could conjure up. It was a foul by Doku, another foul by Haaland on Cucurella, and then the weakest foul of the three was given as a penalty. But that's Anthony Taylor for you. You know, that bald bastard's always got it in for us.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto that. Well, let's do the fun bit first, all right? Let's talk about locations. That's what it's been put in the script as anyway, because we're in three different places. That's the interesting part here. You know, obviously, we've kind of gone through it roughly how we feel about it. But Tobes was on pitch side, which I think I definitely want to know more about. Come on, what happened? Because obviously, I was a bit busy in the ground.
it was stressful, but it's a weird experience being on those shows. To be fair, this is a bit of I'm peeling back the curtain, but you're watching without sound, obviously for copyright reasons, and it does take away some of the intensity of it. It's different, or it's less stressful than I feel than watching games at the ground or on TV. You feel a bit more removed, and I find that quite strange in a sense. But at the same time, it was very enjoyable. I was joined by Theo, who's an Arsenal fan. He actually kind of wanted us to win, as much as an Arsenal fan would. And Mitch, who is a Spurs fan, who certainly did not want us to win. But it was a fun game. I enjoyed the stream. I think I've been on three Chelsea games before that, and I hadn't seen a goal. That's what Graham Potter's football does to you. But this time I got four. So it was very fun, basically, but stressful at the same time. Especially when the two of them were telling me it was a pen, I was like, "You're having." I felt like I was losing my mind, as if I was being overly biased. And then listening back to Carragher's reaction and watching it back, I was like, "I wasn't losing my mind." Good.
That was the sofa, Tom.
I was on the sofa for the first 55 minutes, and then after that, I was standing up in front of the screen, tearing my hair out. It was hard. But at the end of the game, like that last probably 15 minutes from like the sort of 80th minute on, I was literally at this point, I was at 3-3. I was like, oh. But the thing is, it was such an open game. Like, as Carragher kept saying, there's another goal in this. Someone's going to score. And I was like, please, can it be us? And then they scored, and my head just went. And it was the first, I haven't felt that deflated about Chelsea result in a while, I think, because I've kind of understood where we were. Like last year was just an anomaly, and this year I understand that the squad is so young, we're going to have games where we're just not quite there. But because we played so well and given so much, I just felt it was a really important result for these players to get something out of it. And so when Rodri scored that, and the fact that it was a deflected goal, and you're like, oh, and like Thiago Silva, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't stick your foot out there, but like, get it, you just tried to block it, it's a natural instinct. And then that goes in, you're like, oh, that's a horrible way to lose. And I was genuinely, like, for the first time in a very long time at a Chelsea game, like not like close to crying, but like, I felt like that emotion of like, fuck, that's so gutting. And then obviously we found a way, and like proper limbs from me on my own, as Cole Palmer, as Ozzie Broyer comes on, wins the penalty, and then Cole, Stone Cold, was it Stone Cold Palmer, whatever they're calling him.
They can't call him that. I hate that.
Cold
so much.
Palmer, yeah.
But anyway, he slotted it, which is incredible. I think he's got four goals for us now, all pens. But I don't care. Like that's what we need in the current era of football. You get a lot of penalties, and you need someone who can slot them away. And that was the one I was literally like, my heart rate. I didn't have my watch on, but I can imagine it would have been very high. I can't even imagine what his was like. Like not just obviously a 95th minute penalty to draw a game 4-4, which is ridiculous, but also it's against City. But also City are his old team that Pep essentially went, yeah, don't really need you, like 2 months ago. Can't imagine what was going through his head. But based on A, the penalty itself, and B, the celebration, not a lot. I feel like he's just ice cold, and what a pen, what a player. I was going to say, what a win. We didn't win, but what a point. Like a, best point it? Ever. Best it, point it ever. Best since Ajax, which was also 4-4, coincidentally. But yeah.
That's a great shout. That's a great shout. I was actually trying to figure out when was the last time that we had like a really spectacular game like that, and it probably was Ajax. But like in inside the ground, I don't know if you saw John Terry's Instagram post. He was talking about how that's the best atmosphere he's seen at Chelsea since he retired. Like it was absolutely unbelievable. Like it, When he stepped up for the penalty, so I was in my dad's seat, right? And there's like all all his mates sit around, and they're all, you know, on the older side now. They're all slowly getting their pension and season tickets. But there's one person called Sandra. She sits two rows in front of my dad, right? And her first game was Jimmy Greaves' last game for Chelsea. So I was looking, I was thinking, if this goes, like, if he scores, is she going to be okay? It's like the way it was, like, the game was all coming together. You're just looking at it going, oh my God, like, is he going to score? As soon as it went in, like, it was absolutely unbelievable. It was fucking nuts. And then I was straight in the pub with Gary. I still, just thinking about it now, my heart is beating so fast. But even that might be just the case of, you know, I'm still sweating out the alcohol after doing a boxing session this morning on 6 hours sleep and 9 double whiskies, which was a terrible idea.
Your adrenaline keeps you going, though. I was up late as well. It felt like one of those ones where you whack Match of the Day on, you want to wait till Sky have their replay on. Like, it was just nuts. I saw a tweet which I really enjoyed, because like I said, I watched it without sound. It was only watching it back I got a different, you know, different appreciation for some bits. But I knew they'd be present, but I didn't get to hear it myself first time round. And what that was, the beautiful sound that I saw someone tweet and describe as ASMR for males, which is a bloke smacking the absolute living shit out of the railings in the Matthew Harding stand when we score a goal.
That was DJ Bovrilgate tweeting that, mate. That was the DJ Bovrilgate. That was Charlie's tweet. He lives for it. He loves it. It's like,
yeah, mate, that sound is just, it is music to the ears, isn't it?
Oh, mate, why would people want to move? I don't get it. Like, just that noise, just, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
I don't think anyone who's been or goes would move.
No, I wouldn't. I'm going to be at that Chelsea supporters meeting and the pitch owners meeting as a proud pitch owner and be like, not moving, don't want it. I want to stay here. It's like, it's unbelievable. But that's,
I'm not,
that's
fucking leaving. Another day.
Another conversation for another day. I mean, that's a whole pod in itself. As soon as that starts getting talked about, we'll have to touch on it. But for those that are interested, by the way, Tom's written the script in a different way, and I really like it. It's like theatre, and it kind of fits really well with the game. So we're into Act 2 now, and we're going to be talking about the game itself. Obviously, an absolutely incredible game. Very few teams can stand up to Man City like that. And, you know, although we conceded 4, as Tabs mentioned, dodgy penalty from the bald man and his best friend upstairs, my nemesis, the man that wears a gilet. Let's be honest, it was a mad game of football, but that penalty, right? Was it a pen? Because I'm still not sure, and I've watched Match of the Day back twice now. Because I've seen him given, I've seen him not given.
No chance. No, mate, he fouls him. It doesn't make any sense. Like, Catman Carragher was going nuts when I was looking back. I was thinking, God, I thought I was losing my mind just being biased. It's not. Even if you ignore Doku giving a little push of Reece, I think, into Caicedo, or the other way around, Haaland grabs Cucurella, and you know as well as I do, I'll be interested to hear what Tom says. I will be the first to say Cucurella looked like the Cucurella of old, and he's reverting back to his ways. I'd have that worry in me, but he's proven me wrong time and time again. I am not going to sit there and blame him for that, because the weakest bit of contact and a 6'4" man has gone falling down after yanking him, and Taylor was instructing them, I'm sure, to be like, don't you dare turn me over. Don't you dare. He does this every time. It's obscene that this man was relegated to the Championship and then was called up for the biggest game of the weekend in itself. That's one crime. The second is the fact that, how is he on Chelsea games? This bloke should not referee Chelsea games. I hate making it about the referee. And I hate this idea I think this is genuinely one of these cases where even you speak to neutral fans, they're very aware that, like, yeah, that guy has something against Chelsea. Like, what is this? Because it's such a blatant foul on Cucurella, and then Cucurella does a weaker version of the same thing, and they just choose to look at that. It doesn't make any sense.
Not to mention as well, by the way, before you go, Tom, I do want to say, Conor Gallagher was at the other end of the pitch after being scything off, like, writhing around. Any other time, I have seen the game stopped. Like, because Conor Gallagher doesn't go down. Mm. So you kind of look at people like, okay, well, he's going to stop the game now. Anthony, you're going to stop the game. Wait. Oh, great penalty. Here we go. That makes sense. So I don't get it. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. The big thing for me with this, really, is that you will see both what Haaland did to Cucurella and what Cucurella did to Haaland at pretty much every set piece in every Premier League game the whole season, and nothing will happen. It won't be refereed, it will be nothing. And then this one gets given as a penalty. And then the thing is, there are some people who are like, oh yeah, that probably is a pen. Then if you're given that as a pen, then you're setting a precedent that there are going to be about 7 penalties a game. And that just doesn't make sense to me. It's a light tug on his shirt when Reece James is down, because Doku's obviously pushed and caused that, and then Haaland has pulled him first, then he's pulled back, and Haaland's just let go before him, and then he gives a penalty. And also, he's given that penalty himself. It's not even come from VAR. It would make a little bit more sense if it's come from VAR, being like, oh, Haaland's been pulled down there, have a look at it. He's called that. He's somehow seen that through all those bodies with all the mess that's going on and gone, yeah, that's a clear-cut penalty. As we've said about him, I don't even want to talk about him because he makes me too angry, but only he would give that. And I'm just glad, as I've said before, that we didn't kind of let that get to us, the players, that is. I think the fans were still pretty fed up with it, even at the end. But the players were just like, okay, it's what it is. And then obviously Cucurella seems to just take matters into his own hands at the silver goal by completely manhandling Rodri. I was slightly surprised that wasn't given as a foul. But
That was more of a foul.
I agree. But it wasn't given, and I was like, oh, well, that's fair enough then. One all, two slightly dodgy goals, we move on. And, well, you know, I don't think anyone... If you don't like a game like that, then you don't like sport, let alone football. That was one of the great games. Not that enjoyable at times as a Chelsea fan. There were times where my heart rate was through the roof, as I've said. But, as I say, on that penalty, it was not a penalty, in my opinion. Only he would give it, but I'm glad that was a kind of only a small part of the game, and it wasn't kind of the deciding factor. Because as we know, the last four games against City in the Prem, we've lost 1-0, so it could have been the deciding factor.
Can you imagine that? Imagine what's that guy? 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Oh, 4-4. What the fuck happened there? It's just like I'm now looking at this Man United game in a few weeks, going, ah, it's got a draw written all over it, and I'm sort of going, has it? This is the way that something nuts is going to happen. Because we just, in those big games, just so open, seem to score goals. But speaking of goals being scored, Thiago Silva becomes the oldest player to ever score a goal for Chelsea Football Club. Does anyone else just want to kiss his feet and his head and everything? And just find like a Benjamin Button sort of serum sort of thing? Because I do.
Yeah. 39 years, yeah, it's brilliant. And 51 days to be exact. Thiago Silva scored that lovely, well-taken header. Nice knee slide celebration. Yeah, love him, love the goal, love the foul from Cucurella, and yeah, I mean, there you go. He's 39. When we signed him at 36, I did not think we still have him now, but we do, and he's great. And we've obviously mentioned him a few times that maybe he's slowing down a bit, but he didn't look that slow out there yesterday.
That's what was so annoying about the penalty that was given. I thought, because it was like they weren't doing anything. I thought, as much as Haaland's walked away with two goals, I actually thought Thiago and Disasi did a very good job, as we did on him last year, to be fair. But yeah, it was brilliant that he got his goal. And then we do love a bit of players scoring against their old clubs.
All day.
I think I said last week, I wanted Cole Palmer doing the Adebayor, or Sterling doing the Adebayor. Nicholas Jackson wanted them doing the Adebayor.
I love that, the way he was like, celebrate, do it. Do it now, do it. And he's just sort of going, you saw Sterling kind of start. I still think that was a little celebration because his hands were kind of, he was doing a little dance. But it, yeah. I don't know, like he's...
I'd call Cole's a celebration.
Right, Cole's was like the little shoulder. Because I wasn't sure he celebrated. Because when I saw it, it looked like he was doing the whole sort of like hands up. But then it just turns out he's just shrugging. It's like, wow, no, that's... I love the shithousery. Like, that Nico Jackson, a few weeks ago, I'd been like, right, don't care, shift him on. Like, or like, he'll be our second choice striker. Now he's quickly turning to one of my favourite players, just of how much of a dick he is. I just love it. Like, it's one of those players where it's like, he's just picking it up and he's doing really well. But Sterling, I mean, mean, after not being put in the England squad and then doing that against his former club, when, let's be honest, like, he's not been a player which I think would have been on the first name on the team sheet for a lot of people for a lot of this season. You know, he really showed what he was capable of. And, you know, that was, by the way, as you said, Cole Palmer created that. Reece James, little tap across. Like, we made City look, it looked like a child's play. Like, I don't think anyone scored an easier goal against City this season. I don't think anybody will.
Yeah, I thought Sterling was actually my man of the match, to be honest. I know Cole got the award. I thought Sterling had Walker on toast. I haven't seen Walker get twisted in and out like that in a long, long time. Probably since Vinicius maybe had a good game against him. Well, actually, no, he didn't, did he? Rodrigo just sort of randomly changed the game. It was just Real Madrid law. But yeah, I haven't seen Walker tested like that in a while. I thought Sterling was fantastic. But it was some week for Jackson. Like, mate, this time last week was when the Spurs game was kicking off, you know, peeling the curtain back. This is when we're recording, Monday night. But in that week, he's bagged 4 in 2 games against both teams that were top of the league at the time. He's done a sue. He's done all sorts of celebrations. He's encouraged others to celebrate. He's given Kovacic the shush as well. Since discovering shushing, Nico Jackson is just on another planet. He's shushing everyone, and he's celebrating against everyone.
Right. Speaking of Kovacic like celebrations, said, Louis, by the way, did you notice how he gave a little fist bump when Cole Palmer's penalty went in? Have you seen that?
I did. He was proper Chelsea, wasn't he?
Oh, mate.
Weird. And I saw Mason Mount was liking Reece's post and everything, and I thought, yeah, grass isn't always greener, is it, lads?
No, it's easy.
How's the benches?
It's true. But, I mean, well, speaking of goals, right, Tom, do you want to give a tactical breakdown of the one we conceded? That horrendous 2-2.
They put ball in box. Tall man from Switzerland jumps, heads it in corner. No one's there to block it. For some reason, he's lost his runner, which is just very, very basic. And also, it's that classic, like, just before half time, you're like, come on, lads. We've got City here. It's 2-1. Let's go in, 2-1 up. And then that happens, and you're just like, oh, for God's sake. And then, obviously, they hit you with the 1-2 just before half time. And then you go in at half time, you're like, right, it's 2-2. We're in a great position. We're playing really well. More of the same. And then they score in the first 2 minutes of the second half. And you're just like, what are you doing? But again, we made mistakes. This team are going to make mistakes, and basic mistakes that you're going to look at, like that set piece defending, and you're going to say, that is terrible. What are you doing? But they're also going to do amazing things because they are good players. And that those mistakes will gradually, hopefully over not too much time, because it will get quite frustrating, but at the moment, I'll allow it because they're playing good football generally in these games. They're going to make mistakes, they'll be cut out, and then we're going to stop making these stupid mistakes when the team grows, they get more experience, they play in these big games, they realise, oh, hang on, you can't do that, you can't do this, even if they are literally the fundamentals of football, like marking a man at a set piece. And it's all going to come together because there are so many positives about this team. And it's like, I know people are going to say, oh, you just come off one result or two, I suppose, with Spurs, and now you're getting ahead of yourselves, but like, 4-4 draw with City. Like, how many teams concede 4 goals to City and don't lose? Like any team, let alone City. Like, this is a big result for us. And I think as well, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say the making of Poch, because obviously he's proved himself elsewhere before and he's had some good results with us. But this was the one where you're like, can he match up with Pep here? With Pep's like treble winning team, and he did. And you know, I'd say, as I've said, 3 of their goals. Obviously, a penalty, which wasn't a penalty, a deflection, and a goal that comes off Haaland's bum.
I thought it was more bollock than bum.
Yeah, the way it was described to me, but so Andrew Gaffney, the journalist, he was saying it came off his mister. That's how he described it to me. Because I was... So where my dad's seat is right on the corner flag of the east stand. Obviously, right on the corner flag, Matthew Arden Lower. You can see into the east stand. There's about 4 of us trying to squint to see what happened, and VAR looking at the screen in the east stand, and he was like, yeah, does that come off? That looked like a bollock. I think it's a bollock. It's like, it was, you know, it was a proper, you know, I'd say, I think it's a Croatian midfielder, you know, come off a bollock off. And I think it's sort of one of those where he's just, you know, he's guided. To be fair, in fairness, with his goal, I thought he did really well to keep his hands up. Like, the way he was sliding in, like, that was 100%. If that had hit his arm, that was given hand, that was handball. Like, the way he kind of, like, pterodactyled with his hands in the air, sort of like, it's the full robot nature, like, just full Terminator. Like, wasn't bad going for him, was it? But yeah, I mean, look, like we can go through all of the goals. You know, we got that. There was a Roger once kind of, we got let down. See, Nico Jackson, we've already talked about his shushing and sort of getting the goals going. But straight off the way, I want to jump straight to the last goal. After it looked like the game was over, right? As we were saying, we were all panicking, thought, oh, we're not going to get anything from this. And we really should have really won it, if anything, right? I love Poch's tactics. Inspired. Because he went 4-4. Fucking two. He brings on the big man and he gets a pen. 4-4-2 is the best formation in football and I don't want to hear otherwise.
He, Broyer, this is, came on, touched the ball once, and in that touch managed to con one of the best defenders in the world into fouling him, clear cut foul to win a penalty. Some people say he should have shot first time. Well, clearly, Amanda Breuer knows better. I really want to see him properly fit and give him more time. I think he's a good player. I think he's also very different. He's like, as I've said before, when I got ridiculed for it. In terms of his body shape, he is a bit like Haaland in that he's massive. He's actually relatively quick and he's quite strong as well, like with that. And, you know, we haven't seen enough of him to call him a lethal finisher or not, but maybe that's something that will develop. But, you know, I think he's a very useful player. And, well, I mean, yeah, I can't talk about him too much. He literally just came on one touch, won a pen. But what a moment. What a sub. He came on. I was like, yeah, I like that. Why not? Try it out. Long balls. I didn't even do long balls. Just played to feet. One touch. Oh, wins a pen. Bang. We know what happens next. Stone Cold Palmer slots it up the shirt.
Yeah. It was a brilliant pass from Sterling as well to Brozier for the pen. But touching on Poch's tactics and substitutions, because we mentioned a few weeks ago we got it wrong with the Arsenal game. We thought we changed it when we didn't need to change it. We'd played brilliantly. He got every sub right this week, and it could have been even more right. Like the Brozier one had an immediate impact of winning that pen. But Mudryk came on and he did a few step overs and beat a player after about a minute with him coming on, played it across to Connor, and that caused our third goal with Jackson scoring. And Gusto could have had the winner at 3-3. I thought every sub was as immaculate as you could get, with just that Gusto miss being the... That would have been the, you know, cherry on the icing. But Poch himself nailed this game to a T. And he was introduced to Anthony Taylor and the familiarity that we have as fans at Chelsea. And I really enjoyed that at the end. That felt like... It felt like a moment of like, yeah, you're one of us now.
Yeah. It, would you say he's maybe starting to show his true colours now? Like he's finally, obviously everyone was worried about, you know, the quote-unquote Spursiness. You know, is he finally stepping up and showing what he's capable of in those big games as a manager?
Is it quite symbolic in a way that maybe that died at Spurs when we hammered them? The final little nail in the coffin? Because in the there was a lot to be said in terms of press conference. He'd been very nice about Spurs, hadn't he? I didn't see him particularly gutted about smashing them 4-1 at their place. I saw a man that was very much the Chelsea boss, and then I saw a man storming the pitch, marauding after Anthony Taylor, as many Chelsea gaffers have done in the past. I think it's been a big week, as I said, for Jackson, but yes, for Poch, like, you know, ending that facade of a title charge going on at Spurs, making them look Spursy. Probably given himself some PTSD flashbacks to that, to working at that club. But yeah, I thought, I don't know, there was something very Chelsea about the way Poch behaved on the sideline too. The goals meant more, it felt like.
Definitely. Tom, who was for you, who was your sort of, we talk about players that we were looking at stepped up, we spoke about Sterling, we spoke about Palmer. Is there anyone else you kind of look at where you think, you know, they played a starring role in this game?
Yes, I would say the man that we doubted at the start of the season, and he's sort of become Chelsea's unofficial vice captain, I suppose, in the absence of the wing backs, and that is Conor Gallagher. Again, Brilliant. I think he was a pick of the midfielders. I thought Enzo was good at times and quite quiet at times. I thought Caicedo had a weird game because there were certain things he did. I was like, what is he doing? And then there were certain little clever little fouls where you're like, actually, that's exactly what we were missing last year. Like, just take him out, take the yellow there, or just, you know, be clever, basically. And then obviously, you know, I just think Conor Gallagher was better than those two yesterday. He was the one in that midfield that actually really, I thought, performed for the full 90. And it's more than just... We called him like a Labrador. We call him that at times. And we say, oh, you know, he's got the passion. And that's important to have in the club. You need a player who's got passion. And yeah, he does have that. But that is what kind of elevates him. And also, people seem to forget about the season he had at Crystal Palace where he was, like, unbelievable. He hasn't played enough football for us last year. We were just terrible generally. I don't really see how he's supposed to be the one to kind of drag us out of that. And people were calling for his head a bit. This year, under a good manager, in a good midfield, in a system that suits him, he's starting to kind of become undroppable, really. And, you know, obviously with Palmer playing really well, Sterling starting to look himself. We still, I think, there's a lot more to come from Mudryk. Jackson's obviously had a very good week. You're looking at the team and you're a bit like, and I think you've said this before, Louis, with Nkunku, you're like, where does he actually get in here?
Yeah.
Like, he must be looking at this a little bit like, oh, this is an inconvenient injury, isn't it? I mean, obviously, a player of his calibre will have to come into the team, will have to find a way in at some point. But it might be, you know, similar to when Reece James has been injured. Actually, when he's back, we don't have to rush him in so he doesn't get injured straight away, because this team has a lot of aspects to it, which it should, given how much money we've spent and how many players we brought in. But yeah, I thought Conor Gallagher again, coincidentally not one of the players we brought in the summer, he's one of ours, was fantastic. And I think he should be, you know, obviously Cole Palmer got the call up to England earlier, Sterling been snubbed. I think Gallagher is putting his hand up to be in the Euro squad, to be completely honest. Can you imagine that midfield of Rice, Bellingham, Gallagher? I quite like that. Yeah. Obviously, long way to go this season, but if he keeps his performances up, especially in these big games, then he's becoming a very important player for this club. And I am eating a bit of humble pie by, you know, I called him expendable at the start.
Yeah, no, he's definitely picking up, and it just shows how bright the future is at Chelsea now. Like, it's that game, I think that's that we talk about the turning point being earlier on, but I think that might be the proper turning point for our season. Not Spurs, but City. We'll have to see what happens. We can't tell you our best team. We're in safe hands, I think it's safe to say. But guys, we're going to have to wrap it up there. This has been a Highway 61 Network production. Obviously, make sure you follow us on all our socials on Chelsea Echo. Engage with the Echo. Tell your family and friends. Spread the words. Up the fucking Chelsea, more importantly, as well. And we might see you during the international break. We have to discuss that because we might have something to talk to you about. But if not, we'll see you after the international break with the Newcastle preview. Take care of yourselves, guys. We'll see you later. Ta-da.